I knew I was lost. I suspected it the moment I stepped through the iron labyrinth's gates. This was not a challenge I could overcome, not something I could unravel. Here was a place seemingly infinite and of Firenzian complexity, wrought by a mind equal to my own. No, that wasn't entirely truthful. My mind was compromised, and so the featureless corridors of brass and iron that stretched before me were beyond my intellect to navigate. Standing at the 100th crossroad, each avenue I had chosen on the 99 before it, taking me deeper into the labyrinth, and yet at the same time further from my goal, I wondered what Kurz had promised my brother for this gift. Perhaps Perturabo hated me as much as he did the rest of us, and he had simply decided that hurting one of his brothers was as good as hurting any. Maybe he resented the fact that I had survived his glorious barrage on Istvan V and refused to yield to his lines of armor. Whatever the reason, he had crafted this place with one purpose in mind, that whoever entered it would never leave. It suited Perturabo's mindset, I think, to imagine me wandering these halls forever, although he could not have known about my immortality. I believed that Kurz needed more immediate closure, however. Patience was not his virtue, nor restraint. In the hammer he had provided me with hope. I suspect he meant to drive me further into madness with that hope. He did not realize he had actually provided a realistic means of escaping his dungeon. Deciding it mattered little if I couldn't find the heart of the labyrinth, I took the left fork and wandered on. Unlike my previous trials at my brother's tender claws, there were no traps, no enemies, no obstacles of any kind. I reasoned the labyrinth itself was the trap, the ultimate snare, in fact, fashioned by an arch trapsmith. Once again, I felt the pulse of the abyss nearby, the black and the red, its savage teeth closing around me. It called to a feral part of my psyche, the monster Kurz had spoken of. I shook the sensation off. Somewhere in this accursed place were my sons. I had to find them, and hoped I would not come across them in the many bodies I had seen so far. Most of the remains were skeletal, though some yet retained their withered flesh. They were Kurz's rats, the poor wretches who had tried to conquer the labyrinth before me. All of them had died, still clinging to hope, desperate and out of their minds. I think that was what Kurz wanted for me, to be emaciated, brought low and desperate, a plaything to mock and punish when his own loathsome presence became too much for him to bear. Ferris was with me still. He didn't speak anymore. He just followed, like my shadow. I could hear his armored footsteps dogging my tread, slow and cumbersome. "I think we are getting closer, brother," I said to the spectre lurking a few meters away. His teeth clacked together in what I took to be mocking laughter. "Ye of little faith," I replied. I wandered like this for days, possibly even weeks. I did not sleep, nor did I rest, and I couldn't eat. Vigor left me, and I began to waste and atrophy. Soon I would not be so different to Ferris, no more than an angry shadow doomed to walk these halls forever. And then I heard the talons. It began as the light tapping of metal on metal, a sharp tip rapped against the walls, echoing through the labyrinth towards me. I stopped and listened, sensing a change in Kurz's game, a desire to see it ended. The tapping grew louder and transformed into the scraping of claws. A second monster had been unleashed into my Byzantine prison. I was no longer alone with my slow, creeping madness.
"Kurz,"
I called out, challenging. Only the scraping metal answered. I thought it might be coming closer. I began to move, trying to locate the source of the sound, walking at first, then breaking into a run.
Vulcan,
hissed the air in my brother's goading voice. I ran after it, all the while the scraping and the tapping clawing its way into my skull, setting my teeth on edge. I rounded a corner, chasing my instincts, but found only another corridor, as gloomy and unremarkable as all the others.
Vulcan!
It came from behind me, and I whirled around as something dark and fast slipped by me. I winced, clutching my side. Taking my hand away, I saw blood and the shallow cut my brother had delivered.
Come out!
I bawled, fist clenched and a feral hunch to my shoulders. I barely recognized my own voice. It had grown so animalistic. Only the scraping answered. I chased it, a bloodhound on the hunt, but could find no trace of curs. The line between predator and prey was blurring. At times I gave pursuit, at others my brother. I reached another junction, another crossroads, and tried to get my bearings, but the throbbing in my skull wouldn't allow it.
Vulcan!
The voice returned, taunting me. I roared, thundering my fist into the nearest wall. It barely made a dent. I roared again, arching back my neck, calling ferally into the darkness. The monster within was unleashed, and it craved blood. Curs cut me again, unseen in the dark, and drew a line of glittering rubies across my bicep. It drove me on, fueled my rage. A third cut opened in my chest, the blood flowing in red tears across my pectoral muscle. A fourth slashed my thigh. I almost caught him that time, but it was like grasping smoke.
Vulcan,
he whispered, ever scraping, ever goading. I was bleeding from at least a dozen wounds, my vitae running down my legs and pooling between the gaps in my toes so that I left bloody footprints in my wake. It was only when I looked down at the path I was about to take that I stopped and saw the mark of my passage, the smeared but unmistakable impression of my feet.